Welcome, Miss Anna. How are you?
Pretty good. How are
I'm
you?
good. So, thank you for, first agreeing to come on to the show. I know it's really hard to have someone on the West Coast talk to someone on the East Coast with that 3 hour time difference. But
Yeah.
before we get actually into our conversation, if you don't mind giving some, who you are, where you're from, and a little bit of back history of you, and also don't forget to mention your Instagram and your YouTube channel.
Okay. My name is Anna Smith. I live in San Diego County, California. I actually live in a military town right now. It's a nice city, so I'm very blessed to be here. I was able to get my own low income housing apartment, so that was a huge blessing. I was born in California in San Diego, actually. Moved around a lot growing up, but I'm back here and I feel at home here. I have a YouTube channel that I started in September of 2019 called Anna's Thoughts and Musical Parodies. And then the Instagram that goes with it is called My Thoughts and Songs. It's hard to say honestly what like the central theme is, because it's kind of it's a song parodies that I make up in my head, and then also just like song covers, because I just love to sing. And then I just talk about various things that are on my mind, kind of like social issues and a little bit of politics. And I am a Trump
So,
supporter.
are you going to be the next Weird Al Yankovic?
Somebody has said that to me before. It might have been my coworker, but maybe
Well,
we'll see.
if I remember correctly, he was like the valedictorian of his Yale class or something like that. Like, it was crazy.
Wow, I don't know if I knew that.
He's
Okay.
so the other one I was looking up for. I look up all kinds of random stuff, and one of the things I was looking up is, like, unbelievably smart people. And the two people that showed up that have stuck with me all these years is Jerry Springer and Weird Al. If I remember correctly,
Wow,
yeah,
that's
they
nice.
both went to Ivy League schools. And they're
Wow.
both super, super intelligent. So,
Yeah.
that just made me think about it when you saw my so you kind of contradicted yourself here. So you're gonna have to explain to everybody,
Oh,
okay?
really?
So
Okay.
you said you're a Trump supporter, and you said you feel at
Yes.
home in California. That is,
Oh, yeah, I see what you're saying.
yes. I mean, do you want to try to explain how you're a Trump supporter and you feel home in the communist country of California?
I see what you're saying. It didn't even occur to me, because it just I don't equate the two, I guess. Like I was born here, I grew up here, so that's why it feels like home. And it's only been in the last few years that I've actually understood politics and like how insane it is here. And I don't like those aspects of it, but it's just I grew up here, so that's why. And I love the beach and all that.
I mean, I can't fault that. I mean, I'm from
Yeah.
North Carolina. I went and joined the Army. I spent 10 and a half years in the Army. I got out, and the first thing I wanted to do was come home.
Yeah.
Which I live in, a purple state. I don't live in a blue state, so I guess it's a little bit different. Are you over there with the Hollywood Marines? Is that where you're at?
The what
The
Marines?
Hollywood Marines?
I don't know if I've ever even heard that. What is that?
It's what, Paris Island and San Diego where they go to training,
Oh,
and
well,
what?
I'm in Coronado. There's actually a Navy SEAL base
Oh,
there.
that's what it was.
And
That
they train Navy SEALs, yeah.
that's right. It was San Diego is where the SEAL base is.
Yeah.
So with you being from California, have you always been a conservative, or is that something that just you woke up one day and was like, oh crap, I'm a conservative?
Well, I started being like a serious conservative in, I think, around the, I don't know, it was shortly after Trump got elected. So I don't know if it was like the end of 2016 or the beginning of 2017, somewhere around there. I hear a noise. I don't know whose end that is. So after the Charlottesville thing with the Unite the Right rally, it was just like everybody was so vocal about how much they hate Trump and stuff, and like it was just like about him being elected and just politics. And so it's like I just want to figure out what the heck is going on. I had voted for him because my parents told me they thought I should. Like they told me a little bit about Hillary and a little bit about him. I was like, well, Hillary sounds bad, so I'll vote for him. And like I just didn't know very much before because I have a crazy background, which I could get into later, but I was kind of just becoming like stable emotionally actually, and all that. So I voted for him, and then I was at the library one day in Oceanside, California, which is another beach city not too far from here. And I was just looking it up stuff about the Charlottesville thing and stuff, and I saw a video. I think it might have been whatever, I forget what they're called right now, but they're like
Is
an alt media thing.
you talking about
Let's go ahead.
one of the conservative news sites, or are you talking about like an actual like extremist type thing?
No, one of just one of the
So
conservative ones.
like PragerU or Turning Point or
It was similar to that. It's the one that got he got shut down. I can't think of his name. Everybody thinks he's crazy. He has like some girls who work for him.
Well, I,
He sold a bunch of stuff.
yeah,
He's a big name. It's escaping my mind right now.
I don't know.
I don't think
There's a
so.
lot of us that get shut down.
Yeah. Anyway, I saw it was like live footage. I saw like balloons with urine and being thrown at the Unite the Right people, and I was like, wow, those counter press protesters are pretty crazy. But like it looks like they're both kind of being violent a little bit. And then I saw, I think probably a clip from like CNN or something of Trump talking about it, and all that they showed is that he said that there's fine people on both sides. So I was like, whoa, like what the heck? How can he say that? There were Nazis. There were some actual Nazis. And I actually wrote an angry Facebook post about it. But then I looked a little bit deeper and I saw the full clip of what he said. And I was like, wow, okay. So he actually said that he condemns those people, but there just happened to also be some good people on both sides. And I was like, that makes sense. And then that was like my light bulb went off moment. That I became like an actual Trump supporter
So you,
and started looking more into it.
so I don't want to put words into your mind, but into your mouth, but I'm pretty sure you just said when you were a liberal, you were a psycho, and then you become sane when you become a conservative. But I don't want to put words in your
Kind
mouth.
of.
I mean, that's pretty much what
I mean, that's
that's
not.
pretty much what
I
you
mean, I
just
guess
said.
you kind of said that. Yeah. I wasn't as psycho as some people I've seen, but
Listen, I'm not trying to put you in
yeah.
the hot seat, Anna. I'm just going off of
Yeah.
what you're telling me, okay? I don't want anybody to think that I
Yeah.
said that liberals are psychotic, but you said that you were psycho as a liberal and then you got mentally stable when you become a conservative. So I just want to
Oh, okay. No, well, no,
that
I was
out
unstable because I went through a traumatic experience. And then I was just starting to become stable like before I
Yes,
like
ma'am.
looked into all this
Well,
stuff. Yeah.
I was joking. I just thought it was funny
Okay,
because most people consider,
yeah.
the memes and stuff when you see the liberals, they're normally like screaming or,
Yeah. Yeah.
wearing like vagina suits or like
Yeah.
weird things that go on that people accumulate with,
Yeah.
being psychotic. Because
True.
if you look at 20 years ago, a lot of these actions people will be put in mental hospitals for. I mean, they
Yeah.
wouldn't be elaborate reads.
Yeah. Like that makes sense.
So you've been you. I don't know why it hasn't hit me yet. Maybe it's because of some of the people that you tag on Instagram. I have had my own fair share of people taking the blue pill, as you know, and like you were saying, on that psycho level. But thinking about it and seeing some of the people, I think you posted, I think it was earlier today, you posted something about your, from your personal page, you posted onto your business page on Instagram. And
Oh yeah.
it was a comment, like some random, like way crazy left field comment that someone had left you. But my question is, so why are you deciding to basically be vocal and open your mouth as a conservative?
Well, I mean, it's just who I am. Like, if it wasn't on the internet, I would talk to people in real life about it, or I would post it, I would type it up on Facebook or whatever. Like, I'm just a very open and honest person in general, so it's just like an outlet, I guess. And I'm also creative, so some of it's just fun creative stuff.
That makes sense. But, you know, if you want to do anything in this country, if you take the conservative word off, you'll be okay. But as soon as you,
I know.
Like, I'm pretty sure you can make a parody song about Donald Trump, and tomorrow you'll have 10 million views.
if it makes him look bad.
I mean, yeah. I mean, it's sad, but you know, it's really true. I mean, you know, I don't know if you watched the debate last night, but to prove the point of what I was saying, they were talking about North Korea and how Trump handled North Korea and how Trump handled Syria. And it was crazy because the first foreign policy was, hey, what do you think about how Trump handles North Korea? And in a nutshell, everybody's like, oh, he was wrong. He was wrong. He shouldn't have been so diplomatic. He should have forced him not to do this. He shouldn't have forced him to do that. Well, then they're like, okay, well, what about Syria? And they're like, oh, well, Trump shouldn't have pulled the troops out. He should have kept the troops there. You know, we hurt the Kurds. Mm-hmm. And then Elizabeth Warren gets on there, and she's like, oh, well, I don't think that we should have used our military yet. I think we're still in the stages of where we can use diplomatic strategies and we can work with our allies. But then if you think about it, Assad dumps chlorine out of airplanes onto his – or chlorine gas, I should say – so before I get checked, on the people in his country, and they literally choked to death. And then
that's so sad.
Yeah, and Elizabeth Warren's like, "Oh no, we haven't got to the level of you need a military yet. We need to hold off on our military until all strategies have been used until we tried everything." And to me, I don't know about you, but doing a mass I guess you can consider it a genocide. I know some people get upset about that, but it really what it was. I mean, he's killing his own people with chlorine gas. And then,
yeah, well, I have a couple thoughts whenever you're ready.
Oh, no, yeah. Oh, sorry. Yeah. Spill them.
Okay. So the last thought that came into my mind that I remember right now is the fact that Elizabeth Warren is a woman, and we as women are more in touch with our emotions. Like, I think it's like actual scientific, psychological thing. And that is probably part, at least, of why, if she's being genuine, why she is saying that we should use all the other strategies first. I used to say that when I was younger and more naive, like, I wish we could just talk it out. I mean, I still wish that was reality, but it's just not. And when they're like being horrible, evil people like that, like, you just have to like be the same way sometimes, you know. But I mean, I think it's awesome that Trump was able to be diplomatic with some people like North Korea, and they actually put down their weapons, at least for now.
And see, I don't think people understand awesome. That. Go ahead.
I was just saying, like, if you can do that, especially with crazy people like North Korea, then that's great.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if you have kids or not, but I have four. No. And you know, I can't treat each one of the children the same way and get my same point across.
Yeah.
You know, I can holler at one and get my point across. I can take the other one's cell phone away to get my point across. And then there's one. Mm-hmm. She just needs a whooping. I mean, I'm just going to be honest with you. That's the only way she can get her. That's the only way that you can get her point across. You know, if she don't listen to nothing else but leather belts. That's the only thing she listens to. but you know, and when you, if you take situations and I don't know if you know, but I went to school to be a minister. So I'll tie it together with this. When there's situations in the world, if you try to look at it at a big grand scheme of things, it doesn't make sense. But if you focus on it on a small individual level, then you understand why it makes sense at a grand scheme. Mm-hmm. And it's like I try to tell people, when you're handling different people and you're handling different situations, if you look at it as a father talking to a child, then it all pulls together. You know,
yeah,
like President and Kim Jong-un, you know, as a parent, you tell your kids, hey, don't touch the hot stove. Well, what's going to happen?
Mm-hmm.
You will eventually, you just have to let the kid touch the hot stove so they get burned. And then when they get burned, you know, then they're like, okay, maybe I should listen to mom and dad because that's really hot. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And sometimes we have to do that with certain people, but people like Assad, you can't do that to. Like, he's not going to, he's going to get burned and he's going to keep touching the stove.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I mean, and the next part they said is they were talking about they wanted to use forcible, how do they put it? Basically, talking about they wanted to force a change in leadership. And I don't know if you remember, but it worked so well with Saddam Hussein getting forcibly removed.
I remember seeing the statue come down on the news. That was 15, and then somebody else just came up in place of him, right?
Yeah, Al-Qaeda.
Or something. Okay.
Yeah, we...
Yeah, I'm not the expert on all of this.
Like AOC. No, you're...
I'm not the expert at geopolitics on this issue.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's fine. It's just, I just wanted to ask you about those things because, like you were saying with the Charlottesville thing that happened in South Carolina.
Oh, okay. I forgot it was there.
Yeah, when the president said, hey, there's fine people on both sides, there is no way anybody can say he was talking about neo-Nazis or white supremacists. Mm-hmm. That's not what he was talking about. He was talking about, hey, there's people that are for the flag and there's people that are against the flag, and I think they're both good people on both sides, and we need to sit down and have a conversation.
Yeah.
But then what they wanted to do is they're like, oh, well, he didn't condemn white supremacy. He's like, yeah, and David Duke actually condemned the president because he said the president was too lenient on minorities.
Mm-hmm.
And then David Duke started sponsoring Democrats. And the Democrats. But anyways, so off of my little, you know, my little soapbox there. So you're in Southern California, and if you look at the 2016 election map, if you break California down into each individual county, and you look at red versus blue, Southern California was pretty much one big old blue mark. Do you think that may change any this time? Do you think?
Sorry, finish.
I know it's funny to ask, but I'm saying, do you think? Because as an example, I don't know if you know, but a really good friend of mine, Joe Collins, is running against Maxine Waters in Los Angeles, and
I've heard that name.
Right, and I did an episode with him too, so you should check it out. But he is a black conservative, and he's a Navy veteran.
Oh,
and he is like killing it out there in LA right now.
But okay,
it's starting to seem like there's some young, really conservatives in Southern California.
Yeah, there are some so I think it helps that I'm in a military town, but I have at least had a few coworkers. I work at like a natural food store and a service deli, but there's been a few people who have been able to like talk like this with, like, we believe all the same stuff, and they're young, like early 20s, or even one's like 19. So that's cool. But I mean, overall, I have a Keep America Great hat, and like, I'm nervous to wear it out even here, and I get stares and stuff like that. And I wouldn't wear it like in the next city over, because it's like mostly minorities, and I'd be afraid of like getting hurt, honestly.
and see, you know, it's crazy because if you look at what come out over the last week, which the last thing I'm gonna say about it, I gotta check some more information into, but is, you know, Bernie Sanders. They were talking about Bernie Sanders had his constituents or his supporters were like bullying or harassing people online and everything. And Bernie was like, well, just because we have a couple extreme followers doesn't mean that my whole campaign is tainted. And I'm like, but you,
I mean, that's true. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's true. But think about Trump.
Yeah.
You know,
that's what I was thinking.
Yeah, he has one like crazy supporter that's just way out there in left field. Well, right field, I should say. And and they're like, oh, Trump's this, Trump's that, because he has one crazy, like the guy in El Paso, Texas, that went to the Walmart.
Oh, yeah.
And like, what, he drove like, what, 1,000 miles or some crap to go kill Mexicans?
Wow.
That has nothing to do with the president. So then.
Yeah.
Today, I was looking through some different news sources trying to find, you know, different information and keep up with today's time and stuff. And, you know, it was saying that it was actually one of Bernie's campaign people that was actually behind the accounts that were online and causing threats and bullying and everything else like that.
I saw like behind the scenes video. It might have been like something like Project Veritas of a Bernie supporter. I think he was like the leader of like one of the groups that were trying to get people to vote for him, and like I don't remember exactly what he was saying, so I'm not going to say this is a quote, but like it was definitely scary. Like he was threatening is what I remember.
Are you talking about
towards people who don't want, like anybody who doesn't want to fall in line with the socialist agenda? He's like, yeah, like we just need to get rid of them, basically. I don't know exactly what he meant, but yeah.
Well, no, I saw that video. It was like 10 minutes long, and all he was doing is like talking in circles. But and he was talking. He was trying to use big words, and you know, most of the time when you talk using big words, you're doing it for a purpose and a reason. Like if you're not writing a academic paper, or you know, you're not in an academic environment, there's no reason to try to use words to make yourself sound intelligent.
Yeah.
All you're doing is one, confusing people that's listening to you that aren't that academic, or two, you're trying to throw a front, and that's really what he was doing. But basically, when you break down what he was saying, is that's literally it. Is, you know, if you don't become a socialist, then we're going to make you pay for it. We will make you suffer for it. And and that's one thing, Anna, that really upsets me when people, well, I don't want to say upsets me, it pisses me off when people tell me that, you know, they don't have time for politics, you know, they don't worry about politics, they don't worry about these things, because in 2020 the politics has everything to do with your way of life. You know, if you love your children, you need to be a conservative. If you like your paycheck, you need to be a conservative. If you don't want if you don't want to start a world country, you know, you have to be a conservative. But people, I think, which you can, you're in Southern California, so you're really near the tech capital of the world. At least a whole lot closer than I am. And, you know, people stay so busy that they don't have time to research anything or look into it. And I really think I think it's important. That's why people like me, you, Compton Conservative, and, you know, different people that P-Money, we got to talk about her because we both follow her. But you know, all these people that are conservatives that are trying to get the information out, because there are no, like, you can't just turn on a random television station and find a conservative talking about Donald Trump.
Yeah, no. Or,
you know, policies that are going
on. Fox, that's about it.
No, yeah, that's it. But I think people are so reliant that what they do is they scroll through their news feed on Facebook or Instagram or something, and that's the information they take to heart. And I don't – like even – like one of the biggest things I try to tell people is, even if you sit here and listen to me and you fact-check me a million times and I'm not wrong, I need you to fact-check me a million and one times. One, because I'm human, and two, because it keeps me in line.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, and you know, that's why I try to tell people. But do you, would your show and the things that you're doing, at least on the political side of it, do you have a goal that you're trying to reach?
I'm trying to give people a reality check, I guess, because, like, I feel like the mainstream media, like, they almost did it to me. They literally brainwashed people. Like, I almost started to hate Trump because they purposely doctored the clip to make me hate him. So they're trying to control us, and, like, that's not okay. I was in an abusive relationship for 10 years where I was brainwashed and controlled, and so I think that's part of why I'm so passionate. And I try to do it in a way that is welcoming to everybody. Like, I'm not just, like, screaming at people, calling them snowflakes, because that's obviously just going to push them away and make them hate conservatives even more. So, like, I try to be welcoming and opening to everybody, but, like, still stand up for the truth.
So do you think it's possible to have a middle ground anymore?
What exactly do you mean?
So it seems like the center has moved so far left that it is more of a, either you agree with everything I say or you're a racist. Or not. So it seems to me like back in the day, it used to be you had the conservatives and you had the Democrats. Then you had mm-hmm. liberals and you had Republicans. Mm-hmm. And the conservatives and the liberals were pretty much going swinging back and forth. And then the Republicans and the Democrats just covered the whole spectrum. But now it seems like the conservatives will move closer to the middle to continue an all-out, like, civil war. But yeah. the left is not coming off of anything. Bernie Sanders is an anti-American socialist, and he's leading in the polls. I mean, that's how far.
I know. Yeah. I see what you're saying. It is getting a lot more polarized for sure. And I wonder about civil war. I mean, like, I'm a Christian. I think you are too. And I know in the Bible it says, like, at the end times, shortly before Jesus is going to come back, there's going to be rumors of wars. So that's interesting. And I don't know if you know who Tim Pool is. Do you?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, I watch him on YouTube. He seems pretty moderate, but I don't know how many people there are like him out there, honestly.
Well, so I share it because I really think it's funny, but I really don't necessarily agree with some of the reporters that go out in public and then are like, they try to trip people up, and they're like, "Oh, look how stupid you are! Ha 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 ha!
That doesn't actually help anything."
Not at all. I mean, the ones I like, the only ones that I say I really do like is the ones that show people's ignorance as far as political policies, and that's like when they go out there and be like, "Hey, did you know Donald Trump said this?" And they're like, "Oh, well, that's racist, that's sexist, that's this, that's that." And they're like, "Oh, well, actually, Obama's the one that said that." And they're like, "Oh, well, if you put it in context of how he was trying to say, well, I'm just saying that's actually, you know." And so I those are the ones I enjoy because someone made a comment to me about the last episode I did, which I'm going to get into and let you comment on if you want to. But and they were talking about, I try to, if I'm a building or if there's a building standing up, I'm trying to get to the top floor while everybody else is on the bottom. And that's how I try to look at things. I try to look at things so broken down and complex that you know, there's no choice but to have a deep conversation about it. And that's what I try to do with topics like illegal immigration, conservatisms, being a liberal, socialism, like all these different things that I talk about. I even do it with religion. I had one girl tell me there were all these contradictions in the Bible, so I did a whole episode talking about how there are not contradictions in the Bible. And all
I want to hear that one.
Yeah, it's on here, and it's called it's called Biblical Contradictions also. But yeah, you just made me forget. So I try to break it down, and a lot of people they don't like that, but I don't try to insult them. And I know you said you listened to a little bit of the last episode. Do you want to
I honestly don't remember what it was about. It's a few days ago, and my life is hectic.
I know, right? On the hot seat. And I'm not going to edit that out. Now everybody's going to think I'm just
That's fine. It'll give some people something to relate to.
I know, right? No, it was about illegal immigration and how illegal immigrations affect minority communities. And when you talk to people about it, it's such a touchy subject that a lot of people just come unhinged. And there's just no way, I mean, there's no way to actually to have a discourse about it. Are you playing solitaire? It sounds like you're playing solitaire while you're talking.
No, sorry, my phone came unplugged and I plugged it back in because it's kind of low battery.
No, you're fine. I was just
Yeah,
joking.
I know.
So is there let's see, I'm pretty sure I asked you all my questions, and I gotta say you're probably the shortest interview I've ever done, but I've actually quite enjoyed talking to you.
Oh, thank you. Well, there's one thing I was going to mention, kind of related to what we were talking about earlier. When you said that if you put conservatives in the title of anything, like people are automatically going to like be triggered. That's literally happened to me a couple times, like in person. I met this girl on a train. It was like an hour long ride, and somehow we started talking about. I told her I had a YouTube channel, and at the time it was called Christian California Conservative. I had like just started out, and she's like, "Whoa, like I would not listen to that. Like I wouldn't even click on it." It's like, okay, I'm not that surprised. But then we were able to have like a kind, civil conversation, and I actually brought up the point to her about how like if we can be at peace with our enemies, isn't that good? And she's like, "Well, yeah, actually." So that was cool. Because other than that, we were pretty opposite sides of the spectrum. But she said that I was a good listener.
Well, most conservatives are.
Yeah, that's true. Like, I felt like she could potentially have been like an Antifa member, like the way she was talking. Who knows? But,
But see, that's only authorized on the left.
wait, what do you mean?
Being like an Antifa member or something like that is only authorized on the left. Like on the right, we condemn the people.
Yeah, for sure. I hate that. Like, I hate what that group does. I don't hate people, but I hate what those people do, like, so much.
At Ruck Up Podcast, we take a little bit of a different approach. We take industry professionals from law enforcement, military, security, and outdoors enthusiasts all around the world, and we hear their story. So let's hear it.
Attack or infiltration or suspected infiltration. And we have to be ready to
We're all allegedly massacred by the Crown Prince. And I was there not to be with that. I arrived the day after.
Check us out at our website at rockupmedia.com.
A person comes to me as a conservative and they say that they're a neo-Nazi. I'm instantly going to basically call them an idiot and tell them they're not a conservative. They're a supremacist. But on the left, it doesn't seem like that. Like if you watched, like we were talking about earlier with the Trump rally where he said there's good people on both sides. If you see how instantly that took off as a negative thing, you look at like Antifa going around and like tearing things. Like what was it, UC Berkeley, right there where you're at, where Antifa pretty much burned down the school. You know,
is that where they did? They told all the white people to leave, and then they like, or no, they trapped that professor in a room.
No, it was Milo.
No, there's two things that happened.
Yeah, there's so many, but that UC Berkeley is when Milo or Ben Shapiro. But one of them was coming, and I think it was Milo, but they were talking about how he's a fascist and he's a racist and he's homophobic, which, you know, Milo is a gay conservative.
He's gay, yeah.
He's a gay conservative that dates black dudes. Like, but yet they called him, you know, the typical left things when he's literally the complete opposite. Like, he should be the poster boy of the left movement.
Of what?
I said
the poster boy of what?
The left movement.
Yeah.
But I mean, he's an interracial relationships. he's gay, he's outspoken, you know, but the problem mm-hmm. is, like we're talking about this whole conversation, he has the title conservative behind it.
Yeah, I know, that's insane. I actually have a real life anecdote, however you say that, because I just remembered. I think it was like right when Trump got elected. I had a friend who I don't talk to anymore, but he lives in Oregon, which is like crazy in some parts of it anyway, in Portland. I don't remember what city he was in, but he sent me a video like directly to my phone that he took of riots happening in the streets like right after Trump got elected. So yeah, people are crazy.
I mean, yeah, and it's bad. So I have people that I served in the military with, I deployed with, uh-huh. I have people I went to high school with, I have people from that I've known for 20 some odd years and never had a problem with me until September of last year when I started my show. You know, and
I had a friend who I knew since I was 13, where we were both 13, and it's partly my fault because I was a little too overboard with talking to her about politics because she's liberal. And I said that it sucks to see her brainwashed, and she blocked me, even though I apologized twice. So I kind of understand, but like it was really genuine and from love on my side. But she just won't talk to me anymore.
And see if it was the other way around and you blocked her, then it would have been, you know, because you were some kind of ist, that whatever word they can throw in front of ist or phobia, know, and that's unfortunately that's too common. And then you got what's the name of the guy that you told me to follow the other day that you just did a live video with?
His name is Marquez Robinson.
Yeah, that's right. So you got him, you got Joel Patrick, you got Continental Conservative, you got Joe Collins, you got Dr. Ben Carson, you got all these strong minority people that are coming
out. Sorry, go finish. I'm so bad.
No, you're good. I mean, because you're right, because you got the Officer Brandon.
Brandon Tatum.
Yep, you got Officer Brandon Tatum. Yeah. And you got
The Amazing Lucas.
Yep.
The Amazing Lucas. And, he lives here in California. He's like close by me.
Oh, really?
We probably meet each other if we wanted to.
that'd be a cool episode. But there's so many people. But you know, it's like I think I put on
There's little Chandler Crump. He's like 14. He's a little black kid.
There are Terrell Williams, ain't that his name?
Sounds familiar. Oh, that's his friend.
Yeah,
he's Chandler's friend. I actually met Chandler like before he got famous, kind of famous. Like he friended me on Instagram and we were like chatting, and he's like, I think I want to do a YouTube channel. So I have like pictures of that conversation.
Oh, I mean that's how it starts. And you know, unfortunately, you know, this, you know, a lot of people think this is like making $1 million, but it's really not. It's really hard to. I made a Facebook post and you know, you can confirm or deny it, but you know, I wrote on there probably about 2 or 3 weeks ago, and I was like, look, I have lost more friends and family than most people will ever meet. Just you know, I started opening my mouth, and I've actually had people come to me and be like, you are so vocal. Like, why can't you just close your mouth and listen? And I'm like, look, I've spent my whole life with my mouth shut. I haven't changed any. My thoughts have always been the same. But now, since I'm vocal about my beliefs, now you're painting a picture of me that's not there. You know, I don't know it. Wow. Do you share your show and stuff? Like, work in your church or like different places like that, or do you just kind of
like I've shared it with my family obviously, and there's a couple people from my work who are subscribed, but there's like certain people who I won't talk to about the political side of it because I don't want to stop getting along with them basically.
no it makes sense, and I don't understand that. I don't understand how you can not talk to someone because of politics. I think that's part of the brainwash mentality, and I keep saying on this show, and hopefully people people start to listen, and that's the fact that we were told our whole lives not to talk about race and not to talk about religion.
Yeah, it's like, why? Why not? Why can't we?
Exactly. I mean, why would you tell people in a country that has the First Amendment, why would you tell them not to talk about it? And they're like,
your abilities as a human being, it's really sad to me.
But I think the wedge is there so far that when we do try to talk about it, that like everybody's freaking out because they're not used to explaining themselves or having to listen to someone else.
Yeah.
You know, and that's why I try to do this, and I try to get different people. You know, like I reached out to you on Instagram, and I reached out to, you know, a whole bunch of other people to try to get them to come on here and talk and show that there are a lot of us here in this country. And hopefully we can build a community that's big enough that even if the mainstream media denies that we're here, we're still actually – people will actually know that we're here.
And we're connected to each other,
Yeah, because, I mean, I don't know about you, but since September, I have met some of the coolest freaking people I would have never met in my life.
Yeah,
no,
me too, for sure, yeah.
You know, I mean, you know, I will say before September, I never thought I'd be, like, randomly messaging people, like, hey, do you want to do an episode of my show?
I've always been that person anyway, so that's probably part of why I'm comfortable with this.
Well, you know, there's a podcast thing that I'm on Facebook, and if you decide to start an actual podcast, you know, I'll help you with it. But they were talking about, you know, how do you get people to come on your show? And I was like, ask. Mm-hmm. And they're like, what do you mean? I mean,
don't be so afraid of each other.
I mean, that's how you meet people. But then we can actually stand together, and we can also keep each other in check and show that we do have a strong voice of the people that are young generation. Because like where I'm at, I went to a GOP meeting, and I was the only person that was in my 20s. I'm pretty sure I was the only. There's like a 30 year age gap if you take my wife out of the picture between me and the next person. I mean, it was.
Can I ask how old you are?
I'm 28.
Oh, okay. I thought you were older for some reason.
I don't know. I
think you said you have four kids.
I do. So,
wow.
I mean, there's a big age difference, and I don't know where you're at.
That's true. I know a few in their early 20s, like I said. There's just not that many. Like, it seems like most people are liberals, and I just assume that most people are, except for like at church, because it tends to go along with Christian values.
Do you want to elaborate on that?
I haven't thought about it like super deeply, but I mean, like we tend to be pro-life. I'm very pro-life, and just it's because we value human life because God created it, and God has a plan and a purpose for each and every human being. So I think that, you know, goes parallel to each other with conservatism and Christianity. That's the main one that sticks out. Maybe like the economic part of it though, because like God tells us to be good stewards of our money. And so we don't want to just like spend it recklessly, like I feel like liberals tend to do.
So
that might be part of it.
So what's your ideas on Jesus being a socialist?
That's an interesting topic, because like when you look at the early church, like they basically were a little commune. Like they sold all their possessions and then they like shared it with each other. But I mean, I'm sure there's differences. I just haven't looked deeply into it.
So
it's a whole different time, whole different country. Like there wasn't even that many of them, you know, like, so yeah.
So to go off of that, biblically speaking, putting on my minister hat, if you actually look at the early church, like you just said, they were a community of people, especially with your people, like the Essenes, the Pharisees, you got the, you got the Quamron community, all these different people that were like these little social groups, and the early church was basically one of those.
I'm sorry, you said the what community?
The Quamron, Q-U-M-R-A-N. It's where they found the Dead Sea Scrolls in 1945, okay. I believe.
Okay.
But if you don't know about it, I'll send you some information on Instagram, because that'll take me like 15 hours or whatever to try to explain on the podcast. But if you want to, we could definitely do another episode just on that. But so what happened in the early church is, if you look at it, they, like you said, they stole all their possessions, and they stole all their possessions and become what we would consider now a socialist or a communist community, because the end was near, because they were under the belief, and it was before the Bible was written, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But they were under the belief that Christ was coming back immediately, so there was no need. Yeah. There was no, why would you need money? Why would you need land? Why would you need anything if Christ was coming back instantly? And that's what they believed, because if you think about it, Christ left the first
time. That's how he made it sound.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah, Christ left the first time, come right back 3 days later, and then he stuck around for 40 days.
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
You know what I mean? And then he was like on earth chilling 40 days, and he was like, hey, I'll be back.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So they had no intention of Christ not coming back for two millenniums. Yeah. Like they thought he was coming instantly. Now, what ended up happening was they realized that Christ wasn't coming back as soon as they were, and then the community was becoming so large that the rich people ended up paying for all the poor people and giving all their money to the poor people, and then the poor people eventually had nothing. Because everybody, they were sharing from one pot, and then that's when they were like,
okay. It's all about you, sir.
Yeah. They're like, socialism doesn't really work, you know?
Yeah.
I think someone posted on one of your comments. It was either yours or a post that you had commented on, and it's talking about that that Jesus was a socialist because he said, give Caesar what Caesar's and give God what's God's. But the problem with that is, if Jesus was a socialist, then he wouldn't have spoken parables with the intent of forcing people, if they want to understand what he was saying, to actually go out and search for the information and search for the answers. You know,
that's a good point.
Jesus didn't heal someone of their sins and just be like, okay, go do what you do. He said, go and sin no more. In other words, I'm helping you. I'm giving you the leg up. But you're not free forever, you know.
Yeah. And
when Jesus, you know, then they used the people, you know, the fact that Jesus fed 5,000 people, and you know, it happened twice. But what they don't realize is they were sitting there listening to Jesus, and Jesus fed them. So basically, like, you know, if someone went to a concert and they had a buffet of free food, you know.
Yeah.
He fed them.
That makes sense.
You know, they didn't go home to a limitless supply of fish and bread. You know, they were at the lecture. You know, they were listening to him teach, and then he fed them.
And it was only a couple of times out of the whole 30 years of his life.
Yeah, it was twice. But when you look at it, every time Christ did something, the other person had to do something else. It wasn't like the left is trying to say, as if Jesus was like, okay, you know what, you're good to go. Or like Jesus said, I'm going to give my life for everybody, and y'all are just good. Go do whatever you want to. Turn back into Sodom and Gomorrah. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
And that's how, if you really think about it, that's how the socialist are trying to make Jesus sound.
Yeah, basically. Yeah, I've seen all sorts of weird stuff, like because there's liberal Christians now, where they call themselves progressive Christians. I actually watched a channel about that because I like her in some ways.
Mm-hmm.
But they come up with all sorts of weird ideas like that. I saw a whole list of it one time, and I went and like commented and It's like, well, actually, you know, a couple of things, and got into a little argument with some people, but.
What so? Yeah. So one thing I've tried to do, I don't know if it, I don't want to say it's advice because you know I'm not like your boss or anything, but one thing that I try to do is when I see something like that, I try to be like, hey, if you really want to discuss this or if you really believe this, any of you 5,000 people that like this post, please come on my show and I'll tell you why this is wrong.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah.
You know, to try to you know, and then I'll put like the link to my show to you know try to.
Yeah,
I don't know if it's really helped. But I do try to self promote like that.
Yeah, that's cool. People will definitely keep talking to me sometimes, and like I try to, you know, be like direct but kind. Like the Bible says, like the steer the truth with love. I used to be way more angry and mean, and I was just like, this is not making any sense, and just making me in a worse place emotionally, and let's not, you know. Producing anything good, so I've calmed down, but I still debate people all the time.
No, I agree. So let me ask you this.
Yeah.
If you were Satan, okay, and and obviously you said you're a Christian, so you know what Satan does, you know his works. So if you were Satan, what would be a better way to take over the world besides liberalism or communism?
I mean, liberalism is pretty much it. Like, yeah, like the whole their whole culture, like social culture, is pretty much do whatever you want, and that's literally Satanism. Like, do what you will is the whole of the law. You know, like be selfish, like everything the opposite of God.
I mean, that's Sodom and Gomorrah, right?
Yeah.
And then you know what I don't understand is you know everybody talks about remembering history. So if we take the faith part of the Bible out and we just focus on the historical evidence of the Bible, which has not ever been disproven. We take the faith part of God having a hand in everything out, and you look at it, the communities when they have or the empires, when they have a conservative type mentality, not that they were always right, but the kingdom grew, the kingdom expanded. And then after the luxuries of capitalism and the luxuries of conservatism per se, and then they started getting, like you said, oh, well, you know, we're comfortable in this. So since we're comfortable and we have this system already built, let's start allowing other people in. So if you look at the Hellenistic cultures of Rome and Greece, or Roman Empire, the Greek Empire, that's exactly what they did. They allowed every religion, every creed, whatever they felt, you know, everybody was allowed. Yeah. And look what happened to the Roman Empire.
Trust the Lord and lean on your own understanding.
Yes.
That goes against that. Yeah. And then, sorry, I just like yelled things out.
No, you're good. But what happened to the Roman Empire?
They fell, right?
Exactly. I mean, it crumbled.
Yeah.
Because there was a saying that I really want to find, but it's talking about, you know, hard times make hard men that win wars, you know, and then peaceful times.
I relate to that in my life.
Yeah, and then peaceful times make weak men that lead to wars, you know, it's a circle of life.
That makes sense. Yeah.
I mean...
Yeah, I just had a thought and it just went away.
I'm sorry. ADHD kicked in.
I definitely have it.
But no, I mean, if you think about it, America has never been attacked on land by a foreign army since England. Japanese doesn't count. That was a BS attack. okay. But yeah, we're not going to count Pearl Harbor. Not to say anything bad against the men that died that day, but because that was a half-ass attack. You know, it wasn't an invasion country. You know, they attacked us just to bring us into the war. They didn't attack us to try to take over our country per se. You know, if you really think about it, that was the smallest attack they could possibly do. And get away with it, but then we dropped two bombs on them. So
I don't think they're not going to mess with them anymore.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm pretty sure they're allies for a while because they're still recovering from it.
It's not funny, but it's kind of funny.
I mean, yeah. They struck first. We were over here minding our own business, per se.
Yeah. And which is really sad for all the innocent people who died or whatever. They're like, were messed up for life. That's really
because
sad.
their government decided they wanted to be in a war. But if you think about that, you know, they were talking about the only reason why they don't attack us is because they're not worried about our military. They could care less about our military. It's the 150 million Americans, and they don't know how many guns or ammo they own. I mean, if you think about it, the NRA members, the members in the NRA, just them, not none of the, you know, small grassroots movements, but just them, is larger than most countries' complete military force.
Oh, wow.
I mean, that's if you take our military, everyone in the military, in the police, and you take them completely out of the picture, and everybody that's remaining that has firearms, you know, the amount of firearms our country knows that we have is more than most of the countries in the world combined.
I think I've heard that, actually, like probably from a liberal source that was like saying it's a horrible thing.
Well, I don't think it is because it keeps us safe.
If
you go to their house and you're in, you could choose someone from the South, like where I live, or someone in Southern California. Who are you more likely going to go rob or try to hurt? Guaranteeing it's
someone in Southern California.
Because them evil AR-15s are probably in every house in my neighborhood. But it's really what it is, and it in order for Satan to take over our country, or take over our world, it has to take over our country. And I mean, our country and complete world domination, because we're the last standing country, and we're the only country that
to not have socialism.
Do what?
Are you saying we're the only country that does not currently have some form of socialism?
No, I'm saying we're the last country that is needed for the New World Order to take what they want to. Because if you look at the EU, okay? So you know you made a post about England and the Brexit.
Yeah, Brexit.
So I don't know if you saw, but England or the UK was like, all right, so we're still trade with you guys, but we're going to be part of you. And the EU said, no, we're not going to trade with you. And they said, the EU said the only way they'll trade with the UK is if the UK agrees to fall under the leadership, or sorry, under the authority of the EU budgets.
Wow.
So
that's scary.
They're trying to basically put an embargo around the UK by blackballing them from anyone in the UK trading with them. So then, of course,
that's what we're afraid of.
Yeah, but you know, our president, being our president, was like, UK, forget them. My country has everything you need. Your country has everything my country needs.
Yeah,
we don't need.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
I mean, it's absolutely amazing. And then
isn't that like the new trade deal that they're trying to do is like between us and the UK and like Mexico or something?
Well, so they got the one now that they're trying to finish it. It was signed but not implemented yet, and that's the one between Canada and Mexico. Since we're bordering countries. However, the one with the UK, because England hired their own President Trump. Their prime minister is like another Trump. As a matter of fact, it's funny because it looks like the English doppelganger of Donald Trump. It was absolutely hilarious.
That's funny.
But that's what they said. But it's the simple fact of the UK wasn't so vocal about it until Trump took office, and then they saw what's happening in the United States, and the UK was like, yeah, no, we need this. You know, this is what we want.
Yeah,
but
yeah, I mean they do.
But if you take away the Second Amendment, and you put people like the Clintons or George Soros or Mike Bloomberg or even Bernie Sanders in office and you give them power, the United States will become a part of the EU or whatever they call it. And then once that happens, I mean, that's all the world powers right there.
That's what you're saying, yeah.
And I mean, that's pretty bad. I mean, that's, but
I mean, I've been feeling like the rapture is like really close. Like I've been just feeling that for like the last couple of years. I don't know what really close. I mean, that could be like 10, 15 years, but like in comparison to all of history, you know.
Well, I mean,
pretty close.
I don't think that's a bad thing. I think that's a good thing that.
Oh no, me either.
You know, you're
kind of crazy.
When you don't, because when you don't recognize it, then that's when the problem comes, and that's when people start saying that you know this isn't ever going to happen. But no, do you have any other?
I just remembered something. Earlier, we started talking a little bit about like progressive Christians, mm-hmm. and that there's a channel that I watched that was hosted by a woman who calls herself a progressive Christian. Like, I don't want to put her down because I think she's pretty cool overall. That's why I still watch her and just to get another perspective. But like, it just makes me think of the part of the Bible that says like, in the end times there will be false teachers, because like some of the stuff that she says, it's really hard for me to like actually align it with scripture. So, I mean, it just makes me wonder, and cause she's not the only one. There's plenty of them popping up. So,
well, I mean, no, there's some on the left, there's some on the right. They're everywhere. And I think that, you know, look at the creation of our country. The creation of our country was done on false beliefs of what the Bible said, because nowhere in the Bible does the Bible condone slavery. Those that started our country believe that, you know, it was right, and then eventually we're like, no, that's not right. Y'all are misinterpreting an entire portion of the Bible. And if you notice, when a lot of the left ministers, as they call themselves, when they focus on, when they say something biblically, you can't. But to notice the political background behind it, like when they talk about abortions, like, oh no, abortions should be illegal. Then you're like, what's the first thing to do? Well, what about war?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's okay. Well, let's talk about war first of all. First of all, if you look in the Old Testament, there's plenty of death.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a difference in killing in cold blood and killing and defending yourself. And then they'll go, well, Jesus said turn the other cheek. Like, yeah, Jesus did say turn the other cheek. Also, we're not Christ, and how are we going to spread the word of God if we all just lay down and let every anti-Christian leader who comes into existence just go and destroy us all? Like, how are we going to go and pass all the ends of the earth? I mean, it doesn't make sense.
You're saying that we should do what instead?
Do what?
You're saying that we should do what instead?
So
like just talk about how they're wrong.
so I think there is one of those senses that I'm not going to go as far as the Quran and be like, if someone makes something against Christianity, then it's punishable by death. Because actually in the Quran, if the government were to say, like Donald Trump, his ban on immigrants from certain countries, which happen to be Muslim countries, right? Because they produce a large amount of terrorists. Technically, based upon the Quran, that's enough to start a religious war in the United States. So all Muslims in the United States should technically start an all-out war in the United States. So I don't think we should go into that. However, I don't think that Christians should sit by when, you know, the mayor of Houston says that she wants to she subpoenaing all the Christian ministers' sermons, and they have to put them on her desk so she can review them to make sure they that they don't preach against homosexuality. I consider that a problem when the federal government goes.
That sounds like fascist.
Right. You know what I mean? When the federal government goes and says that if you're a minister and you don't marry a gay couple, then you can be, you can get put in jail, or you will have a serious kid.
Yeah.
I mean, that's.
Yeah, so Christians are like the only ones who don't actually have religious freedom.
No, that's that,
and
yeah,
that's the biblical too. Like it says that we're going to be persecuted, and we are.
I mean, think about if a person walked into a Muslim meat market and said they wanted pork. You know, of any government official that's going to be like, oh, well, that Muslim country should serve pork. Like, no. You know, and a lot of people are like, well, that's because they don't have it there, period. I was like, exactly. But the ministers don't marry gay people, period. You intentionally go out of your way to start a riot. Like you intentionally go to set out to try to make money off of a situation instead of just being like, as an example, someone's like, what if you go to a restaurant and they're racist? That's like, well, they're racist. I'm not going to go there and cause a scene. You know, I'll tell people, hey, they're racist. I'm not going to go to court and try to sue them for $10 million and me get rich off of it, but I will get on social media or get on my podcast and be like, yo, these people are racist. You might not want to eat there. And then if they're business owners, that's on them. But as an American, as a veteran, and as a decent person, although I disagree with that person, they have a right to hate. I mean, it's stupid, but because and a lot of people disagree with that, but the thing is, Anna, is hate is subjective. So you and I sit here talking, we use hate as a person that's racist, okay? But what if it wasn't hate speech wasn't protected, and you have your YouTube channel, your Instagram, your podcast, I have mine, and I have my other forms of media too. Sanders gets elected, and then all conservatives are now hate speech and hate.
Yeah.
Well, now.
Yeah.
Me and you are now criminals.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because the government declared that conservatism is hate speech, or you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, so it's dangerous that it is subjective, and they want to like make laws about it.
That's the problem. It's just like when we talk about the Second Amendment. You know, they say they want to get rid of semi-automatic weapons, but the majority of weapons are semi-automatic. The problem is they're just making it look like it's an AR-15, so people don't focus on the fact that, okay, if you say semi-automatic, you're taking away everything that's not a bolt action, that's not a revolver, and very few, you know, a single shot, you know, shotguns, a double barrel shotgun, you know, like really, really ancient things. You know what I mean? And everything else, you know, Glocks, 9mm, Berettas, like you're getting rid of literally everything. But they're focusing on just the AR.
Yeah, it's just their thing to get the left on their side. Like, because look at this big scary gun, and these people are all racist, hateful people. So obviously, we have to take it away from them. Yeah, and that's how they can get away with taking away most guns, so that people are not armed. Which is a scary
thing. And then if every country that has an opportunity to attack us, and they said they didn't attack us because we have a Second Amendment, then why would any, regardless of political view, why would any sane American go after the Second Amendment? Like, it literally makes zero sense in this world.
Yeah, unless they want to destroy us.
Because if you think...
Or half of us.
Yeah. So if you think about it, you got... Say you got... Because I got listeners in Australia and in Canada. So... Mm-hmm. Say Australia and Canada don't have a Second Amendment. They have firearms, but they don't have a Second Amendment, okay? If someone goes and takes over Canada, or someone tries to take over Australia, well, they have to deal with us. You know what I mean? And they're not going to care about the UK. They're not going to care about anybody else. They're going to care about us. They're going to care about the American forces. Now, if you take the Second Amendment away from America, then whether people like it or not, we're the police of the world. Everybody complains that they don't want us to be the police of the world, but we literally are the police of the world. We're like, you know, the guardians of Earth. And
that's so funny. Yeah.
And but it's scary though. Yeah, at the same sense, like, one country is what's keeping the entire world up together.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Wow.
And that's why it makes people. And
Bernie Sanders wants to leave that country.
Yeah, I mean, if you think about it, we're so horrible. And we're like we're so racist and hateful in our country and everything else that nobody leaves.
That's why everybody wants to come here, obviously. Yeah.
Yeah, like like I've never seen a person complain about America and do everything in their power, like die to get into another country.
Yeah.
You know, like I've never seen one of the NBA players like break into North Korea, break into China, risking their life just to get in that country to get away from America. Like there's no refugees from America leaving America. Then how can we be a bad country? How can we not be a great country?
Exactly. Yeah.
I mean, I just
I have a friend who lives in England. We've known each other since we were kids, and like he told me right when Brexit happened and stuff, because he thinks Trump is cool, he's more conservative, but it's just interesting to have that direct source. And like I also met a kid on the train the same day I met that Antifa girl, I think, or she might be Antifa. They were from England, and I asked them like how they felt about Brexit, and they were concerned about not being able to trade anymore. It was interesting, the kid was only like 18. But I think he could see some good parts of it too. And I was like, yeah, like there's pros and cons and everything. He's like, yeah, that's true. So it was an interesting conversation.
And see, I think the crazy part about the trade is not the fact that they like physically can't trade, but they can't trade because they're being stonewalled or blackballed. You know, I mean, it's kind of like, you know, you grow up and you move out.
It's like you have to come back if you're going to trade with us.
Exactly. So the EU is saying, oh, well, you said you can live without us, so now you're on your own. So kind of like if you move out of your parents' house, you know, and you're over there busting your tail. And you,
like, oh, you want to come back now?
Yeah, like, oh, can you help me with my light bill this month? And your parents are like, no, either you move back in my house or you starve to death. Yeah. You know, like there's no happy median. And that's really what EU is doing to the UK. And then Trump was like, okay, cool, let them call their bluff, it's cool, whatever you need my country can supply you, so don't worry about them. They may be like 80 miles away from you, we're across an entire ocean, but you know what, we have airplanes, we have big airplanes, we'll get whatever you need. Don't mind, if possible, I would really love to have someone home from the UK. So
I mean, I don't know if he would do it, but I can ask.
Yeah, you should ask. But like, this dude really wants to. Yeah. Really, I do have a couple listeners in the UK, but
I mean, yeah, ask him. Oh no, actually, I have him, and then I also know a couple people from Facebook who are like in Australia and like somewhere else in Europe. I think Ireland.
Okay.
So I don't know. Maybe one of them would want to do it.
That's fine. Just put me on blast.
Yeah. Okay.
But yeah, if there's not nothing else, I appreciate it. I hope we can get our shows linked up together.
Yeah, this was really fun.
At least on you know, Instagram and stuff like that. And then if you don't have me on Facebook, you know, everything, you can type in the lock on everything and you can find me just about anywhere. And I'll send you the links and stuff like that if you don't mind sharing the episode and let people listen to us ramble in a while, and you know, let me pick your brain about a few things.
I definitely want to share it. Thank you for having me, this was cool.
Oh yeah, anytime. I mean, I'm trying to do my best to bring this community together, to get people understanding that we can have conversations. And although me and you agree on the majority of the topics, it is so hard to find a Democrat or a liberal that will actually have a discussion with you. Like it is.
Yeah.
I have reached out. Let's see. I've been in contact with probably 6 or 7 Republican candidates, or Republican people that I've interviewed, that are in some sort of political office or running for some sort of political office. And I cannot get a local, a national or any level of anything with a DNC. So it's
that
it's really hard, but I do appreciate it. If you want to go ahead and just give out your information with your YouTube page and Instagram and everything like that, then we'll go ahead and close this out.
Okay. So my name is Anna Smith. I'm on YouTube as Anna's with the apostrophe S Thoughts and Musical Parodies. And then my Instagram that I use to kind of promote the YouTube channel is My Thoughts and Songs. I'm also on Facebook as Christian California Conservative. I'm not super active on there, but that's another place. I think that's everything.
So there's one thing I forgot to mention, and so did you, and I wrote it down here, and that is I wrote down what it was called. I can't remember. Anyways, your cool cars thing. I just want to let you know that I think that is, you know, regardless of political stuff and everything else, your photos, I guess, just because you're in Southern California, of the cool cars is yeah. Uh-huh. Okay, so keep that up. I really like
it. Reels the people in, yeah. There was a saline I saw today. I meant to get it. I forgot. I think that's a pretty nice car.
Yeah, there's one that I saw that actually made me comment and talk about the guy. Guy become your 125th subscriber.
That was the most recent.
I guess he got out of his car and you talked to him or whatever, but.
No, he was walking up to it, and then I realized it must be his, and I was like, is this your car? He's like, yeah, but I wasn't going to interrupt you. Yeah. He's like, you want to take a picture? You want to get in it? I was like,
oh.
I was just glad that he wasn't like, what the heck are you doing?
He's probably a social influencer, too. he got that car by randomly sticking around taking pictures of other people's cars, and then just blew up and got his own car. And so now he's just like feels obligated to you know, help other social influencers that randomly take pictures of cars.
It is a little weird to ask a strange girl if they want to get in your car, though.
Okay, that's a little far. Yeah. But to ask you to take a picture is.
Yeah, that was nice.
Yeah, but to get inside of it, you know, it's kind of.
Yeah, then you're going to drive off and we're going to.
And then you would end up a couple of days later in Mexico in the hands of the cartel.
On 48 hours on TV.
Yeah.
48 hours missing or whatever.
Yep, gone missing. Got trapped by a sports car.
A friendly face.
Which, you know, it's funny you say that, but. If there was ever an industry for sex trafficked men, having a sports car or a big truck would be the number that'd be the number one way to get a dude to be like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But anyways, I appreciate it, and I'm gonna go ahead and we'll close this out, and whenever I get it edited and everything, I'll send you a message so you can get on there and check it out.
All right.
This has been the Lock on Everything with your host, Brian Locklear.